for you along with Scott Tipps. Scott, we are huge supporters of vitamins and supplements. What's happening in that arena?
Well, there's some consolidation going on there as well, just like in the meat processing industry. And you see a lot of drug companies buying up vitamin companies just to acquire a footprint in the industry. Garden of Life and Pure Encapsulations were bought by Nestle. Metagenics was bought by a capital investment firm, I think called SPC. I'm not sure on that one, but it was definitely a capital investment firm. Swanson's Vitamins, you know, the nationwide mail order outfit, and New Chapter were purchased by, I think Swanson's was bought by SPC, and New Chapter was purchased by Procter & Gamble.
What do they want with these companies? Are they trying to make money with it, or are they shutting them down?
Well, I think they're neutralizing them, and basically what they're doing, what appears that they are doing, is they are making the supplements that are sold more harmonized with, like, Codex standards and others, and kind of dumbing down the nutrient potency. You know, Centrum has a ridiculous amount of vitamin C in it. It's only 60 milligrams, and a lot of the other products have 500 milligrams, so why does Centrum just have 60? And that's a Pfizer product now, by the way. So we see a lot of this. The other thing that's happening that's very curious is a lot of these raw material suppliers, ingredient manufacturers, they're requiring much larger orders before they'll fulfill them. In the past, it used to be easy. You could, you know, any company, I could start a company up and I'd go and say, I only want 10 kilos of vitamin C. But now they're requiring much larger amounts to fill an order. And for small companies and medium-sized companies, this can be a difference between life and death. So it's not a good thing that's going on. And then what you see, George, is you see the kind of rippling out effects of this. That is, trade industry organizations are kind of being taken over by the drug companies. And you lose a lot of the old hands that used to, the true believers, I guess we would call them, who, you know, believe in their products, and they, you know, actually had a lot of seminal knowledge about how they worked and how they could help people therapeutically and all of that, because vitamins and minerals actually do have therapeutic effects, but only at certain levels. If you just take mass market kind of vitamins, supplements, you know, one a day, you aren't ever going to reach the therapeutic level. And it really makes a big difference. I mean, think of it this way. People think they just need the bare minimum, but the 60 milligrams, which is the bare minimum, in my opinion, is just enough to keep you from getting scurvy. And that's what the government and a lot of people think is just what you need to get by. But you're treading along 1 foot just barely out of the grave with that amount. If you want to have optimal health, if you want to have health that really makes you more vibrant and loving life and being able to do so many things and last into your 60s, 70s, and 80s being, you know, reasonably well, then you've got to do better than that, especially in a world where we're laden with pesticides and toxins and endocrine disruptors and the like. Boy, you need this more than ever. You can't just get it from the diet anymore. Soils have been depleted. We've lost 50% of the nutrients in our foods over the last 50 years. And that's an easy statistic to remember. And in fact, I had this argument at a Codex meeting years ago, 20 years ago, with the chairman of the nutrition committee of Codex. And he claimed, oh, the food was just as good as ever. A German study had shown it. And I said, no, a UK study, a Canadian study, and an American study all agree that we've lost mineral and vitamin content in our foods over these last 50 years through unsustainable agricultural practices. And so this is serious. We need higher potency at therapeutic levels, supplements. And that's what's going to keep you going. And it'll keep you in better health. And the sad thing about it is a lot of people don't recognize it because it's kind of like, oh, I didn't get anything. So how do I know it's actually working? Well, there you go. You answered your own question. You didn't get anything. Or maybe you had a cold, but it only lasted a day or two instead of a week, or these sorts of things. But it's really sad. One of our board members at National Health Federation, Greg Cunyon, he's the one who raised the alarm, actually, on this fact that the raw material suppliers are requiring enormous size orders before they'll fill them. So it's forcing a lot of these people to have to go to middlemen who will divide up the lots, and that raises prices, and you price products out of the hands of consumers. That's the other danger here, because a lot of these new rules and regulations that are being heaped on the industry don't have achieved the effect of making supplements any safer. They're already the safest consumer product on the market, by the way. You know, there hasn't been a single death from a vitamin or mineral supplement in the last 30 years. And so how can they make them any safer than that? What the FDA does is they look at the outliers, you know, that these herbal companies, I mean, a lot of herbs are absolutely fantastic, and I'm not saying anything against them, but some of these unscrupulous people will do is they'll put herbs and sometimes, drug products actually in their supplements to achieve an effect. And then it gives a bad name, a black eye to the industry. And the funny thing, George, is the FDA a lot of times looks the other way because they're looking for an excuse to crack down on the good guys. And here these people are providing it to them. These outliers are providing it to them. So this is a problem, and it's one that's encouraged by the FDA, in my opinion.
All right, well, let's go to the phones for you. We're lining up. Let's go to Jennifer in California, west of the Rockies to start. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you?
I was really interested in your opinion on the apple cider vinegar gummies. There's such a big craze on, lose 60 pounds in 2 months. And I'm sorry, but that's got to be baloney.
Well, the late Patricia Bragg would love it. Go ahead, Scotty.
Paul Bragg used to be a member of our organization for many, many decades, actually, before he died. But Jennifer raises a very excellent point. Actually, it's one that ties in with the drug companies taking over supplement companies, and that is they don't care about these products. Like these gummy bears usually have high amounts of sugar in them. They have a lot of other things that aren't really that great for the consumer, but they taste good, and the consumer is kind of misled, in my opinion, is misled into thinking, oh, this is going to do me a lot of good, but they aren't getting the levels of nutrients that they need to have the effect, number one. And number two, they are getting higher levels of things that shouldn't be in there, like sugar and the like. Of course, you have to make them palatable, but our sucralose, that's the other thing I notice in a lot of these products, like a lot of these whey powders and stuff like that, especially in Europe, they just put sucralose in there. You know, they're idiots studying to be morons. They don't realize that they're doing more harm than good. And this is a problem, just like with the gummy bears.
Go to Ron in Michigan now. Ron, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Scott, the alternative meat companies, I understand Oscar Mayer has gone into making lunch meats with the artificial ingredients, which I like to eat because I can't eat the real meat because of gout and diabetes. Mm. But what is the status? Have they still been independent companies? And what is their health and safety records, if you have any on that?
Well, thanks, Ron. And you're touching on a subject that, to be honest with you, I haven't studied as much as some of the others. So, but I know it's an emerging issue. It's a big issue for a lot of people. I think anytime you go artificial, though, you're taking risks. And I appreciate it in a situation like yours where you have gout and you have diabetes, but I think there are other ways to address it. I'm actually surprised that meat, especially if it's organic meat, would give you an issue with diabetes. With gout, I can see that with the uric acid levels. A lot of people, they just put a blanket over their feet at night to raise the temperature, and it helps dissolve out the uric acid crystals in the joints there, at least if the gout's in the feet, which it usually is. But there are other things you can do, like being cherries and the like, then you could go back to regular meat, because the problem with diabetes is really the carbohydrates, it's not the meat itself. But anyway, with the synthetic meat, I would never touch it if I know about the fact that it's synthetic meat, because it's not been tested. Not been tested adequately, in my opinion. Sure, it's been tested, but not adequately, and it hasn't been out there for years. And people, you have a chance to see how people react to it and the like. So I would steer clear of that if you could, but I think the jury's still out on it in some ways. In other ways, I think the jury has turned thumbs down on synthetic meat. I think it's a way to get us away from cattle ranching and the like, which they attribute to global warming through the flatulence problem with cattle, and why in the Netherlands they're trying to close a third of the farms there, and the farmers are taking up arms and tractors to the street, to The Hague, to protest. You see it in Germany now and the like. It's all part of the climate change scheme, and I'm just not buying into it.
Well, farmers in Europe are really upset, aren't they?
Yeah, they very much are, and it's a widespread movement. And, you know, contrary to mainstream reports, the Canadian truckers deserve the credit for that. They're the ones who first did it, protest the Prime Minister Trudeau's policies, and they took a hit. People who donated took a hit. And so people are left with the impression that the Canadian trucker convoy failed, but it actually didn't. It achieved all of its aims, not 90% of its aims, but all of its aims. Well, maybe the last aim would have been to get Trudeau to resign, so they didn't achieve that, but all the other aims they did. And they launched the movement throughout the rest of the world where the other farmers go, hey, look what the Canadian truckers did. We can do that too with our tractors. And hence you have that. So we can thank the Canadians for that part of it.
Go to Scott in Costa Maria along with Scott Tips. Scott, we are huge supporters of vitamins and supplements. What's happening in that arena?
Well, there's some consolidation going on there as well, just like in the meat processing industry. And you see a lot of drug companies buying up vitamin companies just to acquire a footprint in the industry. Garden of Life and Pure Encapsulations were bought by Nestle. Metagenics was bought by a capital investment firm, I think called SPC. I'm not sure on that one, but it was definitely a capital investment firm. Swanson's Vitamins, you know, the nationwide mail order outfit, and New Chapter were purchased by, I think Swanson's was bought by SPC, and New Chapter was purchased by Procter & Gamble.
What do they want with these companies? Are they trying to make money with it, or they're shutting them down?
Well, I think they're neutralizing them, and basically what they're doing, what appears that they are doing is they are making the supplements that are sold more harmonized with like codex standards and others, and kind of dumbing down the nutrient potency. You know, Centrum has a ridiculous amount of vitamin C in it. It's only 60 milligrams, and a lot of the other products have 500 milligrams. So why does Centrum just have 60? And what you, and that's a Pfizer product now, by the way. So we see a lot of this. The other thing that's happening that's very curious is a lot of these raw material suppliers, ingredient manufacturers, they're requiring much larger orders before they'll fulfill them. In the past, it used to be easy. You could, you know, any company, I could start a company up and I'd go and say, I only want 10 kilos of vitamin C. But now they're requiring much larger amounts to fill an order. And for small companies and medium-sized companies, this can be a difference between life and death. So it's not a good thing that's going on. And then what you see, George, is you see the kind of rippling out effects of this. That is, industry, trade industry organizations are kind of being taken over by the drug companies. And you lose a lot of the old hands that used to, the true believers, I guess we would call them, who, you know, believe in their products, and they, you know, actually had a lot of seminal knowledge about how they worked and how they could help people therapeutically and all of that, because vitamins and minerals actually do have therapeutic effects, but only at certain levels. If you just take mass market kind of vitamins, supplements, you know, one a day, you aren't ever going to reach the therapeutic level. And it really makes a big difference. I mean, think of it this way. People think they just need the bare minimum, but the 60 milligrams, which is the bare minimum, in my opinion, is just enough to keep you from getting scurvy. And that's what the government and a lot of people think is just what you need to get by, but you're treading along 1 foot just barely out of the grave with that amount. If you want to have optimal health, if you want to have health that really makes you more vibrant and loving life and being able to do so many things and last into your 60s, 70s, and 80s being, you know, reasonably well, then you've got to do better than that, especially in this world, in a world where we're laden with pesticides and toxins and endocrine disruptors and the like. Boy, you need this more than ever. You can't just get it from the diet anymore. Soils have been depleted. We've lost 50% of the nutrients in our foods over the last 50 years, and that's an easy statistic to remember. And in fact, I had this argument at a Codex meeting years ago, 20 years ago, with the chairman of the nutrition committee of Codex. And he claimed, oh, the food was just as good as ever. A German study had shown it. And I said, no, a UK study, a Canadian study, and an American study all agree that we've lost mineral and vitamin content in our foods over these last 50 years through unsustainable agricultural practices. And so this is serious. We need higher potency at therapeutic levels, you know, supplements, and that's what's going to keep you going, and it'll keep you in better health. And the sad thing about it is a lot of people don't recognize it, because it's kind of like, oh, I didn't get anything, so how do I know it's actually working? Well, there you go. You answered your own question. You didn't get anything. Or maybe you had a cold, but it only lasted a day or two instead of a week, or these sorts of things. But it's really sad. One of our board members at National Health Federation, Greg Cunyon, he's the one who raised the alarm, actually, on this fact that the raw material suppliers are requiring enormous size orders before they'll fill them. So it's forcing a lot of these people to have to go to middlemen, who will divide up the lots, and that raises prices, and you price products out of the hands of consumers. That's the other danger here, because a lot of these new rules and regulations that are being heaped on the industry don't have achieved the effect of making supplements any safer. They're already the safest consumer product on the market, by the way. You know, there hasn't been a single death from a vitamin or mineral supplement in the last 30 years. And so how can they make them any safer than that? What the FDA does is they look at the outliers, you know, that they, these herbal companies, I mean, a lot of herbs are absolutely fantastic, and I'm not saying anything against them, but some of these unscrupulous people will do is they'll put herbs and sometimes, you know, drug products actually in their supplements to achieve an effect, and then it gives a bad name, a black eye to the industry. And the funny thing, George, is the FDA a lot of times looks the other way because they're looking for an excuse to crack down on the good guys. And here these people are providing it to them. These outliers are providing it to them. So this is a problem. And it's one that's encouraged by the FDA, in my opinion.
All right, well, let's go to the phones for you. We're lining up. Let's go to Jennifer in California, west of the Rockies to start. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you?
I was really interested in your opinion on the apple cider vinegar gummies. There's such a big craze on, oh, lose 60 pounds in 2 months. And I'm sorry, but that's got to be baloney.
Well, the late Patricia Bragg would love it. Go ahead, Scotty.
Well, you know, Paul Bragg used to be a member of our organization for many, many decades, actually, before he died. But Jennifer raises a very excellent point. And actually, it's one that ties in with the drug companies taking over supplement companies, and that is they don't care about these products. Like these gummy bears have high amounts of sugar in them. They have a lot of other things that aren't really that great for the consumer, but they taste good, and the consumer is kind of misled, in my opinion, is misled into thinking, oh, this is going to do me a lot of good, but they aren't getting the levels of nutrients that they need to have the effect, number one. And number two, they are getting higher levels of things that shouldn't be in there, like sugar and the like. Of course, you have to make them palatable, but our sucralose, that's the other thing I notice in a lot of these products, like a lot of these whey powders and stuff like that, especially in Europe, they just put sucralose in there. You know, they're idiots studying to be morons. They don't realize that they're doing more harm than good. And this is a problem, just like with the gummy bears.
Go to Ron in Michigan now. Ron, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Scott, the alternative meat companies, I understand Oscar Mayer has gone into making lunch meats with the artificial ingredients, which I like to eat. Because I can't eat the real meat because of gout and diabetes. Mm. But what is the status? Have they still been independent companies? And what is their health and safety records, if you have any on that?
Well, thanks, Ron. And you're touching on a subject that, to be honest with you, I haven't studied as much as some of the others. So, but I know it's an emerging issue. It's a big issue for a lot of people. I think anytime you go artificial, though, you're taking risks. And I appreciate it in a situation like yours where you have gout and you have diabetes. But I think there are other ways to address it. I'm actually surprised that meat, especially if it's organic meat, would give you an issue with diabetes. With gout, I can see that with the uric acid levels. a lot of people, they just put a blanket over their feet at night to raise the temperature, and it helps dissolve out the uric acid crystals in the joints there, at least if the gout's in the feet, which it usually is. But they also, there are other things you can do, like being cherries and the like, to then you could go back to regular meat, because the problem with diabetes is really the carbohydrates, it's not the meat itself. But anyway, with the synthetic meat, I would never touch it if I, you know about the fact that it's synthetic meat, because it's not been tested, adequately, in my opinion. Sure, it's been tested, but not adequately, and it hasn't been out there for years. And people, you have a chance to see how people react to it and the like. So I would steer clear of that if you could, but I think the jury's still out on it in some ways. In other ways, I think the jury has turned thumbs down on synthetic meat. I think it's a way to get us away from cattle ranching and the like, which they attribute to global warming through the flatulence problem with cattle, and why in the Netherlands they're trying to close a third of the farms there, and the farmers are taking up arms and tractors to the street, to The Hague, to protest. You see it in Germany now and the like. It's all part of the climate change scheme, and I'm just not buying into it.
Well, farmers in Europe are really upset, aren't they?
Yeah, they very much are, and it's a widespread movement. And, you know, contrary to mainstream reports, the Canadian truckers deserve the credit for that. They're the ones who first did it, protest the Prime Minister Trudeau's policies, and they took a hit. People who donated took a hit. And so people are left with the impression that the Canadian trucker convoy failed, but it actually didn't. It achieved all of its aims, not 90% of its aims, but all of its aims. Well, maybe the last aim would have been to get Trudeau to resign, so they didn't achieve that, but all the other aims they did. And they launched the movement throughout the rest of the world, where the other farmers go, hey, look what the Canadian truckers did. We can do that too with our tractors. And hence you have that. So we can thank the Canadians for that part of it.
Go to Scott and Costa.